Welcome, First Baptist family and friends, to our Wednesday night prayer service for April 14th. Participants for this evening should leave their phones unmuted and wait until I call your name before speaking. We will now begin with our prayer of thanksgiving and praise by Deacon Kevin Freeman.
Thank you, my sister. Good evening, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. Our God, how excellent is thy name of all the earth. Oh, Father, I come to you just thanking you once again, dear Lord. Let me to be able to lift you up and talk to you, my Father. Oh, Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for yesterday, dear Lord. Oh, Father, I come to you asking you to just be with our sick and shut-in members, dear Lord. You know who they are. Dear Lord, you are a healer. You are a lawyer. You are our provider. Heavenly Father, thank you for our pastor, dear Lord. Dear Lord, you give him so much vision, dear Lord, and you keep him strong, and we just thank you for that, dear Lord. Let us follow, dear Lord, if it be thy will, dear Lord. Just lift him up where he needs to be, dear Lord. Father, thank you for the rest of my church family, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, I'll be glad when you allow us to get back together, dear Lord, that we can see each other once again. Oh, Father, I thank you for this opportunity, dear Lord, the ways that you make for us to still go on with your work, dear Lord, to study, dear Lord. Oh, Father, just draw it more closer to you. Oh, Father, be with those who may be breathing right now, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, let them know that you have not forsaken them, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, be with those who incarcerated. Dear Lord, we just thank you for love and peace. Oh, dear Lord, you're so good to us. Oh, Father, I can't thank you enough for everything you do. Dear Lord, be with those who don't have a job, dear Lord. Please make a way for them. Those who don't have food on their table, clothing on their back. Dear Lord, I know that you could do it for us, dear Lord. You sent your son, dear Lord, and we thank you for that. And, dear Lord, you also left the Holy Spirit for us, my Father. Lord, you're so good to us. Dear Lord, let us stay strong in our faith, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I just thank for the messenger who's about to come to right now, dear Lord, that we may hear that spiritual lifting, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I just thank you for everything you do in all of our lives, dear Lord. In your son name, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Our scripture for this evening will be read by Deaconess Clarice Talbert.
Good evening, Christian friends. Our scripture reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Amen.
We will now have a prayer by Deaconess Joyce Gant.
Thank you, Father God, for blessing each and every one of us who are able to participate. In spite of the pandemic, in spite of COVID, in spite of everything, Lord, we are protected and covered by the blood of Jesus, from the crown of our heads, Lord, to the soles of our feet, that protects our immune system and our respiratory system. Let us remember to call on Jesus and look to Jesus, you, Lord Jesus, for our guidance and our direction, because you are always there with us, covering us, healing us, and blessing us. And let us all be strong in our faith and in our confessions to your word, so that we will gain strength, we will have hope, we will see a future because of our faith, because of your love for us, and our faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We will now have a closed mic prayer for 2 minutes. We will now have a prayer by Sister Bessie Best.
Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I feel the vital flow of your Spirit now, uplifting and strengthening me. In this moment, I lift my precious loved ones before you. May this same resurrection spirit be upon them just now in their homes, on their jobs, wherever they may be. Bless them, comfort them, strengthen them, heal them. Give them victory in every situation of life, and a joy that crowds out the cares of this life. Wrap them up in your loving arms. Watch over them. Protect them. Let an angel stand beside them, an angel invisible to their eyes, but strangely felt by their hearts. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May God continue to bless and keep each and every one of us during this pandemic time. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will now have a musical selection followed by Deacon William Andrews, Chairman of the Deacons Ministry, who will provide us with our inspirational moment for this evening.
I know that it seems sometimes that no matter what you do, or no matter how hard you work, striving to make things better in your life, but for some reason you're not getting nowhere. Well, I want you to turn to the one next to you and tell them, you tried your way, it didn't work, no. You put him second,
second, yeah,
and put you first.
Oh, yeah.
You trusted friends, thought they had your back.
Oh.
And every time you turn around, it seems you're under attack. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But turn to your neighbor and say, see, the devil is alive. No, I'm not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit,
cause
he's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. Hold up. Your bills are due, and all the people you helped did not want to help you. I talked to my mother, I talked to my pastor, but I was so blinded by all my disaster. I wish you would just tell your neighbor, tell them for me. See, the devil is a liar. No, you're not gonna die. It's okay to cry, cause he's by your side. You gotta stop that hating. I know you don't wanna hear it. Gotta fast and pray and listen to the Spirit, y'all. He's speaking to your heart right now. Just listen to the Spirit, oh. I was in my own way, but I'm here to tell you, without his grace I'm a major failure. So if you got problems, know that you can't fix it. Hey, just give it to Jesus. Oh, can I get a witness and tell him, say, if the devil is a liar, you gotta listen to the Spirit. Whoa. Trying to get your attention right now.
I'm trying to tell you something.
I know you got your own plan, but God's got a better one. No.
My First Baptist Church family and friends. I trust that you can hear me okay. Amen? Can you hear me?
Amen. You can be heard.
Amen. All right. I will not be before you long, but there is a message for your hearing. And I suppose if I were to give this message a title, it would be prayer. What is this thing called prayer? Make it personal. Prayer. What is this thing called prayer? Make it personal. The background scripture for this message comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. Let me begin by giving you the backdrop to this message. Now, Webster defines fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 talks about fear in this manner. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, when I first became a deacon, I was terrified at the thought of getting up in front of the congregation to pray. I wasn't comfortable getting up in front of an audience, talk about anything, especially praying. But you see, years ago, when we were not adhering to the format that we are currently using, where the deacon on duty was responsible for the morning prayer, we were using the nodding system. So you may be asking, Brother Deacon, what is the nodding system? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Let me explain how it worked. You see, Pastor Tucker would sit up on the pulpit, and he would look out amongst the deacons assembled on the front row. And if he made eye contact with you and nodded his head, you, my friend, were the chosen one, the one chosen to pray. Well, I can't tell you how many times I would look away from the pastor to avoid eye contact. And you know, on some occasions, I would purposely take a restroom trip just prior to when the nodding process would begin. And I wouldn't come back into the sanctuary until after somebody was praying. But you know, I think Pastor Tucker got wind of my motives because he began to nod my way on most Sundays that followed. See, it was my fear of standing before the congregation, my fear of not knowing what to say, or the fear of forgetting what I wanted to say when I faced that audience. And it was that underlying feeling that I couldn't measure up or pray like our more seasoned deacons. But you know, it wasn't until I read the 11th chapter of Luke that things began to change. For it declared, and it came to pass, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And then I understood. These disciples were just like me. They didn't know how to pray either. And they didn't understand the idiosyncrasies of prayer, that you pray without ceasing. So having this knowledge, I figured, hey, I was in good company. You see, what was proposed to Jesus was twofold. For the disciples didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to pray directly, but to teach them to pray. For John the Baptist and Jesus were known to pray without ceasing. Every time the disciples needed or were looking for Jesus, he was somewhere praying. Because he was always in conversation with the Father. Because they had a personal relationship. And this is what the disciples desired. And Jesus understood that. But he also understood that they just couldn't talk to the Father any kind of way. So he gave them the template for prayer. And he said, like, when you pray, say, O our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. That will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. You know, in the beginning of this message, I posed the question, what is this thing called prayer? Well, prayer is just simply a casual conversation with God, where you acknowledge his majesty and seek first his kingdom and righteousness. Then make it known your personal needs and desires. seeking forgiveness of your sins, and finally, deliverance from temptation and the evil one. The reason why I emphasize a casual conversation is because the Pharisees and religious leaders were known to take center court and recite these eloquent, grand words that they were comfortable with, keeping up empty phrases and not praying from the heart. See, when we pray the church's words, we pray with the best words ever written. But your words, saints, are more your words, and God wants to hear them, your words. Matthew 15:8 says, may our prayers always be a lifting of our hearts to God so we practice true Christianity. Isaiah 29:13 says, these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Now, there was a movie you might recall with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan called Rush Hour. One of the familiar lines in that movie was, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You see, when you pray, you ought to ask yourself that question. Does God understand the words coming out of your mouth? And are those words coming from the heart? Because prayer is merely a casual conversation with God. You know, I can imagine in my spiritual imagination when Adam prayed to God, because prayer is just a casual conversation with God, amen? That the conversation went something like this. You know, God, that woman that you gave me, she made me eat the forbidden fruit. What you going to do about that? And God said, don't you worry about that. Because she will suffer for 9 months giving birth. And in that 9th month, that labor pain I give will remind her to never eat of a forbidden fruit again. And oh, by the way, I told you not to eat of it also. So you will leave this place and curses the ground for your sakes. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. Dust you are, and dust you shall return. Prayer is just a casual conversation with God. And not the reciting of these grand, eloquent words because they're comfortable. Heaping up empty phrases and not praying from the heart. You know, prayers that are routine, that are passed down through the generations, and recited from memory, they call them rote prayers. Catholics have their Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. You might recall some other rote prayers that you memorized, such as the bedtime prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul he'll take. Was there meaning in that prayer when you prayed it? Or were you just reciting memorized words? Then there's the pre-meal prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to receive and for the nourishment to our bodies. For Christ's sake, amen. Are you remembering the times when all you had to eat was that Roman noodle dinner? Or nights when you went to bed without eating anything at all? Or are you merely reciting memorized words? Your Heavenly Father and your earthly Father have similar characteristics. They both love you, provide for you, protect you, and they both made you. How many days when you resided in your earthly Father's house did you go without speaking? And on the other side of that equation, how many days have you gone without speaking to your Heavenly Father? But don't answer that. That was a rhetorical question. Since Jesus stayed in constant communication with the Father, as witnessed by his prayer life, ever dependent on the Father. Constant communication breeds familiarity, eradicates fear, and with the aid of the Holy Spirit, would allow you to stand before any audience and have a personal conversation with God. Just be sure to make it personal. In conclusion, Jesus gave us the template for prayer. We are to address the Father, who loves you in the same manner as your earthly Father, with reverence, for he is awesome, all-powerful, and almighty, as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, realizing that one day the evil of this world will be eradicated and the will of God will reign throughout the earth as it is in heaven. Make known your personal desires and needs as you seek forgiveness of your sins and deliverance from temptation and the evil one. You know, a wise man once told me that when the opportunity to sin and the desire to sin, hook up, look out, for Satan is victorious. So we as Christians should pray that God would strengthen us and fortify us so that when the desire to sin would be cast away from our spirit, because Satan exists to provide the opportunity to sin. So I implore you to keep in daily conversation with your Heavenly Father. And remember, make it personal. Amen.
Thank you. The lines will now be unmuted for 20 seconds to allow acknowledgement of our inspirational speaker.
Thank you.
We will now have remarks by Reverend Tucker.
We thank God for Deacon Andrews and for that very timely and challenging message of inspiration this evening. We praise God for the power of prayer and the opportunity of prayer and for the privilege that we all have to engage in prayer. We are grateful to him. And we thank God for all of the other individuals who have participated and shared in the services tonight. This has been a blessed time, and we praise God for all who have been on the phone and who's sharing in this wonderful prayer experience. We are certainly grateful to those persons who've made this experience possible, all of the IT committee and for the leaders of the and planners for this prayer experience. This is a wonderful time that we have experienced during this period of pandemic, and we praise God that he is blessing us in spite of the challenges that we presently have. We want to encourage you to know that even in spite of what we've been hearing in the news, we need to continue to make sure that we do our testing and do our get our vaccines. They are available to us, and we need to not only do the vaccine but get testing. COVID-19 testing clinic is being held at First Baptist on this coming Saturday. On the 17th, this coming Saturday, and we encourage all of you to drop by the First Baptist Senior Center, 715 Randolph Street, share in getting your test. You can come between 11 and 2 and be tested. There's nothing wrong with being tested now. We ought not to let that be a stigma in our going and coming, but we need to make sure that we take advantage of the convenience and opportunity to have our testing and to take care of ourselves in a wonderful way. On Sunday, April 18th at 10 a.m. is our annual Officers' Day, and we are encouraging all of the officers to be present and to share in that experience. The Reverend Dr. Michael Armstrong, pastor of the Colesville United Methodist Church, will be our speaker, and we encourage you to be ready to share in that experience. Let us please continue to pray for our sick and shut in and our bereaved members. Pray for Brother Robbie Rollins, the nephew of Deaconess Barbara Mickens and Sister Gwen Davis. In addition, keep Sister Patricia Davis and Sister Deborah Banks in your prayers as well. We want you to pray for Sister Aideen King, who served as a member of our church, and she served faithfully as a volunteer in our offices for a while. Pray for her, the King family, and the Dyer family. Her brother, Sister King's brother, John Dyer, transitioned, and the homegoing celebration was held today. Let us continue to keep them in prayer. We are sorry to announce also the transitioning of Brother Robert Williams, the husband of Sister Mary Johnson Williams. Arrangements are still pending. But let us keep all of our sick and shut-in and bereaved persons in prayer. We're going to ask that the lines would be open now for 20 seconds for prayer requests. You can give your prayer
request. Father, I pray for the family. I pray for the
family.
God, our Father, we come just now praying that you would indeed hear the cries and the pleas of your children. Praying, O God, that you would bless them, hear the plea for deliverance from sickness and distress and trial and hurt and suffering. Bless each individual who's under the sound of my voice now, O God. You know what they stand in need of. You know the desires of their hearts. You know why it's so important for them to come and share together in this hour of prayer. You know all about them, O God. You know what we stand in need of. You know even the very hair on our head. And so, God, we just want to draw real close to you that we might be able to hear from you, that we might be able to sense your power and your grace and your strength, that we might know, oh God, that life is yet worth living, that we might know, oh God, that you are still on our sides, that you are keeping us and sustaining us. Oh God, we pray that you would stay near to our lives and to our hearts. Teach us, O God, to pray. We call upon you, O God, because we realize that we need you. We call upon you, O God, because we know that you are holy and mighty and good and precious, and that you are a deliverer. You are one who sustains us. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, O God, for all that you have done, how you've kept us through the storms of life, how you have delivered us in spite of the dangers all around us. Oh God, many have fallen by the way, but you have kept us, and we want to say thank you. Now give us the grace, give us the courage, give us the understanding, give us the capacity, give us the ability to be obedient to you and to be able to walk and be a witness for you, be able to talk and to guide people along the way. Help us, O God. Strengthen us, O God. We pray this night for the health of our church family. Bless, O God, each member. But bless the church together, O God. Grant unto us what you know that we need. Keep us and sustain us, that we may be the people that you've called us to be. Thank you. Thank you. We praise your name, for it is in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ that we pray, that we draw unto you, knowing that you are our Savior, Keeper. Thank you. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant unto you his peace. And the people of God said, amen, amen, and amen.